Your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, October 19th. The University Cafe welcomes Garnett Rogers at 2, right here, Stony Brook University. David Rovix will be at the Village Pub in Lindenhurst, beginning at 7. Ray Anderson and Steve Salerno will be at Harmony Vineyards, head of the harbor, at 8. B.B. King's Manhattan welcomes the Spin Doctors on your concert billboard for Monday, October 20th. Kelsey Gillette and the America's Project will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, at 7. Billy Joel, A Matter of Trust, The Bridge to Russia. This is a film brought to you by the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Sophie B. Hawkins will be at Iridium, Manhattan, at 8. Your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, October 21st. Traffic, the Spencer Davis Group and Stevie Winwood. This is a film brought to you at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Marsha Ball will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, 7:30. Maria Muldaur will be at Iridium at 8. The Beacon Theater Manhattan welcomes the Allman Brothers. Looking ahead to Wednesday, October 22nd, the Contemporary Chamber Players will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts, right here at Stony Brook University, 8 p.m.
For the place to turn for the local music scene, WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM and WUSB.FM on the web. But it takes money to do this, so we ask for your support. Call 631-632-6901 and pledge now. Or go to WSB.FM/pledge. Thanks.
And it's 6:02 in the p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook, and that can only mean one thing. Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. What a nightmare this is turning out to be. Unreal. I've tried twice now to get coffee down the hall and had to abort two times because people literally are moving in slow motion. It's, you'd think 15 minutes would be enough leeway to get a cup of coffee, but no, not in Stony Brook. You have to make advance reservations, apparently. And, you know, this is the craziest thing. I even thought I'd use this long theme to take advantage of being able to wait in a line. This is a long theme. It's something like 13 minutes long, but it's not long enough. So when I came back, I asked Finn to start it. When I came back, all of my notes were gone. Everything just disappeared. And somebody came and threw all my notes in the garbage. Nobody knows who it was either. Nobody cleans up around here. All of a sudden, in the 5 or 6 minutes I was down the hall, somebody decides they're going to do a purge. Only of my material, though. So, yeah, you know what? If there's a message being sent, I'm receiving it loud and clear. So, yeah, we have, and on top of that, as you know, Kyle, as you might know, Kyle is over in Washington now, and he said he'd be on tonight, but I can't reach him. So that plan is falling to pieces as well. So we're just kind of flying blind here and dealing with things as best we can. On top of everything else, it's Radiothon. Yes, Radiothon has begun, where we ask you to support us as we try and figure things out around here. Well, you know, I don't feel so bad being all disorganized and confused because it seems to fit in with what the rest of the world is going through as well. Nobody really knows what's going on, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Ebola, whether it's the FA Cup. Nobody really understands anything. And that's comforting. It's definitely comforting. Something else that I find comforting, in addition to our theme finally being over, I never would have made it. There were these, I don't want to pick on people, but there were these I called them slow motion girls because they blocked up the entire hallway as I was going down. They were having a nice long conversation and literally taking one step per second. And then they were right in front. I couldn't get around them. I knew they were going to take their time. They kept getting joined by more slow-motion girls that were talking slowly and moving slowly. And there were four of them online in front of me before I decided this wasn't worth it. Who needs coffee anyway? You know, I'm hyped up enough just from sheer frustration. So I can get through everything. But here's something that comforts me. There are creepy clown sightings all over the country, apparently. Yes, creepy clowns is the newest thing. There were reports of spooky clowns alarming residents in California. Well, almost anything will alarm residents in California. But clowns, apparently, that's next on the list. And there were several reports a couple days ago of spooky clowns. Apparently, pranksters in similar costumes are popping up in other states. It's incredible. This is a big enough deal that somebody's keeping track and saying, hey, there's somebody else with a clown costume in a different state. It must be part of the same thing. And, you know, I just figured even without Halloween, there are probably a lot of people just walking around in clown outfits. Well, Sergeant Tom Weger, yeah, they got the cops involved in this. This is our level of interest in these things. Sergeant Tom Weger of the Fishers Police Department in Indiana, same state dealing with a mass killing, but they're also dealing with clowns. They basically, this guy thinks his town is dealing with a copycat clown. We have had, over the past week, 3 calls of a suspicious person dressed in a creepy clown outfit, Weger said to ABC News. We believe it's just one individual dressing up as a clown and kind of creeping people out a bit. Okay, and this is news. Why do you care that somebody is dressed up as a clown and creeping people out a bit? You know, there are people who don't dress like clowns who creep me out a lot. And, you know, I get through it. I get by. And why is there only one person dressing as a clown and creeping people out a bit? There should be lots and lots of people dressing as clowns. Well, police actually conducted a search looking for the clown because obviously the clown is going to remain looking like a clown while the police are looking for him. They never found him. Surprise, surprise. As of right now, Weger said he has not broken any law. So why exactly are you looking for him? Aren't there better things to do? Let the kids look for the clowns, all right? Cops have other matters. The reports came after similar sightings this month in Bakersfield, California, and the launch of social media accounts using the name Wasco Clown. Wasco. It's like Waco with an S. Wasco Clown. Showing a scary clown posing at different locations in Bakersfield and nearby cities. We are so creeped out by everything in this world that this actually has us concerned. That we're talking about seeing, oh, yes, another photo of a creepy clown somewhere in this area. Copycats. Wow. Fishers, Indiana is not alone, yes, your worst fears, in the news sightings. Days before Halloween, residents of Albuquerque, New Mexico, were, this has to be a network, right? How else could this be happening? Residents of Albuquerque, New Mexico, were recently spooked when a scary clown posed for a photo in front of, posed for a photo in front of a local restaurant and posted it on social media. Why? I'm sorry. This is an ABC News story, and now I have to turn my attention on that. Obviously, if there's a photo, he posed for the photo. Why did you have to say it that way? Why couldn't you just say a scary clown posted a photo online? Or a photo of a scary clown was posted online. That's better because you don't know the scary clown posted it. But yeah, a scary clown posed for a photo in front of a local restaurant and posted it on social media. Unnecessary step there. The this clown, though, was identified. This clown is known as Tickles. And they told ABC affiliate KOAT in Albuquerque that he didn't mean any harm by the scary photo. Well, that's not good enough. You've traumatized the nation. And some kind of penance is in order. Albuquerque Police Department, they're wasting their time. The media calling police departments, asking for comments. Albuquerque Police Department spokesman Tanner Tixier said, I haven't gotten any phone calls, and I'm not counting the one I'm talking on right now, apparently, but we've had several news outlets here in Albuquerque report on it. It has not become a police matter yet. Please release the line and let me get back to my job. Clowns have also reportedly appeared in Jacksonville, Florida. However, upon further investigation, it turned out just to be the people who live there. You hear the part I added in? I added in a little bit to that story. But yeah, they popped up on security footage because people are combing through security footage and they said, hey, look, a clown. We got to do something about that. It's ISIS. It's Ebola. It's something. Something not normal. The World Clown Association. Oh, come on. The World Clown Association. There's a World Clown Association. There really is. Because it's not enough. You can't just be a clown. You have to be part of an association. And there's rules. And there's probably dues and all kinds of... And an office building. And lobbyists. The World Clown Association. Well, they say such spooky sightings are giving clowns a bad rap. Giving clowns a bad rap. You know, I could spend the entire hour just on this one story... Because of all the absurdity that's going on here. I did not know clowns cared so much about reputation. You call somebody a clown, it's not usually a compliment, right? I think the reputation is something you might as well just sort of leave behind and just go about being a clown and deciding what kind of clown you want to be. Who is the World Clown Association to say that clowns can't be scary? Well, apparently they believe they have the right to say that. People dressed as horror clowns are not real clowns, said President-elect Randy President-elect Randy Christensen. They must have had a contentious election recently to elect the president of the World Clown Association. Oh, if there could be a story like this every week, it would make things so much fun. They are taking something innocent and wholesome and perverting it to create fear in their audience. Clowns, he added, should promote, are you ready? Positive, family-friendly enjoyment. That's right. The moral majority has taken over clowns as well. Well, folks, I think you should be as scary a clown as you can possibly imagine. All clowns to me are scary anyway, so what do you do about that? You know? It's meant to be in fun. Maybe people should try to remember what that used to be like. And if you see a scary clown, hey, take a picture of it, wave, do something. But don't get all freaked out and assume the worst. Assume the worst after the worst has happened. At least that way you get a little happiness before it happens, because it'll happen anyway. How's that? I guess that's my philosophy of life. If that philosophy of life is enough to make you want to call in and support this radio station, well, by all means, you should do so by calling 631-632-6901. Now, Finn is in the other room, but he's not listening to me, I don't think. Oh, he is listening to me. Okay. Finn, I'm inviting you officially to come into this room. I'm sorry, he came in before, but I was all flustered at having my my show trashed, literally, that I threw him out, and now I'm going to invite him back in. If he actually deigns to come back in, I understand that emotions run high here at a place like this. We have spooky clowns, too. We have people here who are spooky clowns by trade, and it leaves us all kind of apprehensive. Hi, Finn. And again, I'm terribly sorry about my mood before.
Well, you know, WUSB is all about forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Am I forgiving whoever threw my show out, or is everybody else forgiving me?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Can we at least get together and forgive the spooky clowns?
Well, you know, I'm like you. I'm actually frightened of all clowns.
Yeah.
And so I don't really understand what the difference is between the spooky clown and a regular clown. You know, I mean, I really don't, because they all are equally horrific to me.
Well, you know, I just saw this story right before coming in. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to spend so much time on it, but it just kept getting better as I dove further into it. And I'm sure there's more to it. But you know, it's Halloween. What you would expect to see people dressed up in various outfits,
right?
But if you look around, I'm sure people are dressed as clowns in all sorts of times and places. And who are we to say when they're scary or not?
And there are also all types of clowns. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, there are people who just wear, you know, some silly button, and they're also clowns. You know, they're not the full out clown, but they're clowns in their own worlds.
Exactly.
And they're all frightening.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are. But that's okay. You know, you can have a frightening persona and not be chastised for it, I
mm-hmm.
think. I think that, you know, it should not be something that they're calling the cops about. They're having all kinds of news stories about.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to? Are they going to question everybody who's dressed as a creepy clown? And why are they saying it's a creepy clown? What's creepy about this particular, what makes a clown creepy, other than the fact that they're a clown in the first place?
Well, yeah. I think it's the clown in the inappropriate location.
What's an inappropriate location for a clown?
Walking on the street
one.
By themselves in the dark, that type of a thing, I guess people feel is an inappropriate
They don't all
location.
Fit inside Volkswagens or telephone booths, you know. Sometimes they have to walk along the street to
That's
get somewhere.
They have to get to the little cars.
Say you're a clown by profession, and apparently you can be because it's a World Clown Association.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to work? You don't have a car. Are you going to dress up when you get there, or do you change at your house?
That's right. And what's more convenient, really, changing at your house? I would think you can really work on your makeup there and get the job done and head out from there to work.
So in this day and age where we're freaked out by everything, I think this is a healthy thing to be freaked out by, and I think people need to dress up as clowns. How you get to be a creepy clown, that's up to you. I'm sure our listeners can figure out how to do that. Finn is racing to answer one of the phone calls now, which hopefully is a pledge. Yes, our pledge line is open, 631-632-6901, where we can have conversations. Why are you back here?
It's the office line.
No, it's not. I see it right here. It's the studio line.
Yeah.
It was a studio line before, too.
Right.
Finn, you're falling down on the job here. We're gonna lose that. I'm going to watch that little red light. Okay, you got it. Yeah, 632-6901 is our telephone number. We have lots of lines. Some of them are for different things, but people don't call in the office line for pledges, that's for sure. We have different support levels. You can join the 90.1 Club and pledge $90.10 and get all kinds of amazing things for that. Do I have a list of what's on the 90.1 Club? You get a sweatshirt, and you get a WUSB hat, and you get a compact disc, which is sort of what people used to listen to music on. And but that's not all. You can get different things for different levels. There's a $35 level, which is probably one of the best pledge levels of any radio station around. There's a $50 level, there's a $75, and, you know, there's no limit either. You can pledge as much as you can possibly afford. And you can also have this taken out of your bank account or credit card on a monthly basis. We have that as well. We take credit cards. We will work with you. We will. And the whole reason we do this is to keep WUSB in Stony Brook on the air. Because it's impossible to keep a radio station on the air without listener support. Or without commercials. And we can't have commercials, and we don't want to have commercials. So we opt to have listener investors. And that's what we hope you will become, no matter where you're listening, no matter when you're listening. WUSB may exist here on Long Island, but our signal gets out to the entire world. Our archives get out to the entire time-space continuum. And I'm sure no matter when you're listening to this, even if it's years in the future, we will still welcome your call. And our phone number will probably be the same. 631-632-6901. Finn is on a call now, but you can make him very flustered by calling more lines, and he'll have to answer all of them somehow because he's the only one here right now other than me. And I can't answer calls because I'm talking on the radio, which is really a neat way of getting out of answering calls. 631-632-6901. We have five lines, and I know we can light them all. I want to torture Finn here. It would be good just to see them light up, I think. We have all kinds of WUSB paraphernalia. We've got T-shirts. We've got sweatshirts. We've got the aforementioned hats. We've got ceramic coffee mugs, baseball caps, a winter scarf even. We've got various kinds of music that we will send to you if you tell us what kind of music you like. And as I mentioned, we take both credit cards, and we will bill you as well. Once more, the phone number is 631-632-6901. I'm going to move into more freaking out over various things because there's so much of that going on, and you know, it's just a limited amount of time to try and get to it all. But there are threats to Americans that are perceived threats and real threats. And I found this amazing piece on Vox.com entitled Threats to Americans Ranked by Actual Threat Instead of Media Hype. Basically telling us that Americans are inundated with media coverage and politicians warning them of dire threats such as Ebola, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, the war on Christmas, all kinds of other things. The truth, though, is that the most hyped threats are often not actually that threatening to Americans, while larger dangers go mostly ignored. And that should tell you something about how our political system and media can distort threats, leading Americans to overreact to minor dangers, like creepy clowns, while ignoring the big, challenging, divisive problems, like slow coffee lines. There, I said it. It's pretty scary and threatening. The example they give is climate change. And yeah, that is something that might not be as sexy as ISIS, but it's a lot more of a threat. So let's take a look at some of the things that we're freaking out about. Number 9 is Ebola. Yeah, we're doing a countdown here. The threat to Americans. What's the threat to Americans of Ebola? Well, okay, if you're an American in West Africa in close proximity with Ebola victims, the threat is moderate. If you're an American health worker in the United States assisting an Ebola victim, or someone who frequently comes into physical contact with one, the threat of infection is minor unless you live in Texas, where they don't know how to use proper protective equipment. Otherwise, the threat is pretty close to zero. Now, we're talking about Ebola, Finn. While you were out on the telephone, we're talking about important issues in here.
Does somebody have it?
Actually, you know, a few people do. You know, there's that guy in Nebraska everyone's forgotten about. There's an NBC, I believe, reporter or cameraman who got Ebola. And he didn't get it from a person. He got it from this is a guy, I think, that was washing the car and got it that way. And he's been in isolation in Nebraska. And I think he's being released now because they say there's nothing more they can do for him and they might as well just let him go.
And that's why with those wet T-shirt scenes on washing the cars, it just, there's the danger right there.
Yeah, yeah. He's been tweeting, though, about about various things. Recovering from Ebola is a truly humbling feeling. Too many are not as fortunate and lucky as I've been. I'm very happy to be alive. He basically says, I was around a lot of sick people the week before I got sick. I was keeping a good distance. I wish I knew exactly what went wrong. In another tweet, he said, my best guess is I touched the surface and didn't chlorinate fast enough. And I think that's reference to actually using a spray on a car that apparently somebody with Ebola had either died in or was close to death in. So that's, you don't just get it by touching people or anything that obvious. If you're in an area where there's a lot of it, it tends to affect a lot more people. So that's something to be concerned about, but not as concerned as people are getting here. People are freaking out. It's become the news topic that even eclipses ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about ISIS recently?
I've heard about it, yes.
Yeah.
But not a lot extremely recently.
I've renamed them. Some people call them ISIS. Some people call them ISIL. Some people call them IS because they want to call themselves Islamic State. And you know why they want to call themselves Islamic State, because they want to represent the Islamic world. But in fact, they don't. They've killed more Muslims than anybody else,
right,
which is why I'm calling them now ISAM, ISAM, Islamic State Against Muslims.
Oh, very good.
And I think that should be, why do they get to choose their name, you know? We didn't get to choose our name. We were just, well, we sort of did, I guess, WUSB, University of Stony Brook. But, you know, it wasn't up to us to actually get it. The FCC is the one that assigned it.
Right. Name should have to be approved.
Yeah.
By an agency of some type,
and
an outside agency.
And they don't want ISIS anymore. It was Islamic State of Iraq and Syria.
Right.
And they want to expand to just the Islamic State and make it nice and simple for everybody to say, oh, this is what Islam is, when it's not.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you can't just go out and say that, what could I pick here? You're part of some organization. Just name yourself that and suddenly represent that organization or religion. You can't just do that. You can't just go out and make up a name. I think that would be more accurate. Okay, so anyway, how freaked out should you be by Ebola? If you have loved ones in Liberia, Sierra Leone, or Guinea, it's not unreasonable to urge them to take all possible precautions. Otherwise, you do better to worry about some of the other things on this list, such as number 8, your own furniture. Yeah, according to a report by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, just under 30 Americans are killed every year by tip-over, which is when televisions, furniture, and appliances fall onto their owners. The report also found over 40,000 Americans receive emergency department-treated injuries from tip-overs every year. Tip-overs. That's not on the news every night.
No, it's not. And I can believe that, because there was a time in my youth when I certainly, fell asleep beneath the television. And it could have easily come down to me. And the TVs in the old days,
they were heavy, but you didn't hang them on your wall.
Correct, right.
Now everybody's hanging things on their wall, and they're heavy. They have speakers and televisions and all kinds of things. And worst case scenario on this is America. We can always find ways to make a bigger, heavier, deadlier TV.
That's right.
I just watched the episode of Mary Hartman where the kid gets electrocuted by the TV falling into the bathtub.
I recall that.
Do you remember that?
I do.
The little Reverend Jimmy Joe, he was 8 years old. And just the fact that you kill a kid on television is admirable enough, because nobody has the guts to do that. But I remember when I was growing up, that was a lesson to me. I don't think I knew before then that a TV falling into a bathtub would electrocute you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just doesn't, it's not something you know from instinct. But I think a lot of Americans, a lot of people in the world, learn from that.
Mary Hartman always performing a service.
Yeah, so a public service announcement. But it was brilliant because they were also talking about the evils of television in that episode before that happened.
Right.
And on a television show. But then the television literally kills somebody. That's brilliant.
I like it.
Okay, so let's talk about ISIS, because we are supposed to. The threat to Americans, presently the threat to Americans outside of Iraq and Syria is extremely low, as ISIS has no demonstrated intent or capability to launch such an attack. And since 2001, the U.S. has gotten much, much better at preventing terror plots. ISIS does control a giant stretch of territory. They boast thousands of fighters, some with Western passports. They earn lots of oil revenue. They field heavy U.S.-made weapons seized from the Iraqi army. Apparently, we delivered some weapons to them yesterday, which apparently were meant for the Kurds, and they got there first. They could decide to use all these resources to try to attack the U.S., or they could allow other terrorists to use their territory as a safe haven. So that's what the worst case scenario is. That how freaked out should you be? Not very. If ISIS decides to turn its attention to attacking the U.S., the prospect it might succeed is real, but remote. And even if it did pull off a successful attack, it would almost certainly kill only a small fraction of the number of Americans that guns and cars are virtually certain to kill every single year. But uh-huh. More on that later. Let's talk about our call. Did we get a pledge?
We did. Mike from Brookhaven gave us a call today.
Yeah,
very
Mike from Brookhaven
pledge.
Always calls.
He's a great guy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mike, for giving us a call. And you, of course, out there as well, can give us a call at 631-632-6901, 631-632-6901, and make a pledge not only to support Off the Wall, but to support WUSB. And make that call now, 631-632-6901. Join Mike from Brookhaven and make that pledge.
Yes, don't let Mike be the only one, because otherwise we become dependent on Mike every single fundraiser.
We can't live on Mike alone.
He'll be there for us, I know that, but you know, we need more Mikes and people who aren't named Mike in all parts of the world to call in now. Not later.
631.
Not during Finn's show. Maybe during Finn's show after this one.
632-6901.
Yeah. Finn has all kinds of people calling in from all over the place. Don't make me look bad. He's here. He can see. He can compare because he's here for both shows.
I'm very judgmental.
He is. Did you throw up my show?
No.
It wasn't you.
It was not me.
It was not you.
I swear it was not me.
I'm doing the Larry David squint. You know what that is.
I did not
size somebody up.
If you look around the studio, nothing else was cleaned up.
Only that. It was just one pile of papers. There's other piles of papers. It was only that. And it was thrown into a trash can.
Can't speak to it.
Who would do that? And no one else is here. That's what's really...
Oh, there were other people here.
Were there?
That's right. We're not going to name names, but there were other people here.
All right. You'll name names after the show, though.
I will. Off the air.
All right. that sound is my my phone. I'm sorry. Okay, it's CNN. It's not. I thought it might be Kyle. You
CNN
know,
is calling you?
Well, no, they send me a text when something happens that has to do with Ebola. But continuing, what should you be freaked out about more than Ebola, more than ISIS? How about the flu? The flu kills thousands of Americans every year, many times more people than Ebola. The elderly and infirm are especially at risk. An especially bad outbreak in 2004 killed how many Americans, Finn?
I don't know.
48,000, that's how many.
A lot.
Yeah, 48,000 people got killed by the flu 10 years ago. So that dwarfs all everything we've talked about up until now, even the creepy clowns.
And even closing the borders wouldn't have done much for the flu, I don't
No,
think.
Not really. I don't think so. The Canadians can't be blamed for this one. Anyway, if you're elderly, very young, or immunosuppressed, you should get a flu shot or nasal spray. I'm not really somebody who likes to get flu shots because I like to consider myself, you know, somewhat not healthy. Wait, why am I saying it that way? I consider myself healthy enough to be able to get through the winter without one.
Mm-hmm.
But I know sometimes that can be a mistake.
Have you gotten flu shots ever?
I think I got one once.
Okay.
I got talked into it. Because they really, I guess I sort of resist being talked into things even when they're good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more enthusiastic they seem trying to get me to do this, I always look for the catch. Look for, you know, okay, why do you want this so badly? It's more that. But if I was sick, if I felt like I wasn't strong enough to fight, you know, something big like that, then, yeah, I would. The other thing I hear is that, you know, sometimes you get one shot for the flu and you get a different kind of flu, or that it makes you more susceptible to some things.
Correct, right.
Who do you believe?
I myself have never gotten it.
Really?
So, and I don't think I've had the flu since I'm a kid.
Uh-huh. Well, it's, I don't know if I've ever had the flu. How do you know if it's a cold or the flu?
The doctor says you have the flu. That's how you know.
Ah, well, you see, I don't have health insurance, so I can't go to the doctor. But you know what? An update to that little saga. I will have health insurance hopefully by January because I looked it up and there's a new company that came into being that is accepted by actual places around here, so I can use it. You know, before they were expecting me to get a company that nobody accepted and pay them a lot of money. This company charges less. It's a co-op, and they're accepted. So it seems to be working finally.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
well,
I have to wait till November 15th to sign up.
The main thing is that you have a local provider. Mm-hmm. The local providers you can actually go to, obviously, because
yes.
those are the ones you need.
Exactly.
Right.
Rather than driving 100 miles to be seen by somebody.
Right.
Okay. What else should we be freaked out by? World War III breaking out in the Baltics.
It's true. I'm with that.
No one wants a global thermonuclear war between the West and Russia, and even Vladimir Putin. But if he meddles, say, in Estonia, which the United States and Western Europe are committed to defend, it could inadvertently or vertently trigger what we avoided throughout the Cold War, open military conflict between the major nuclear powers. Both Putin and President Obama have threatened as much, if only to try and scare one another out of acting aggressively. So the worst-case scenario here is that Russia does in Estonia what it did in Ukraine, and that snowballs into a war between Russia and the United States / NATO, and the nukes start falling. Although, you know, to be honest, I don't see Putin having any interest in going into Estonia. That seems to be something that we're afraid of, but I've seen nothing to indicate that he is interested in doing that.
Right, but it's not something we're afraid of. It's something that we're building a propaganda against,
mm-hmm.
you know, about. So I think that that's a thing to keep Americans, you know, on edge about what the Russians are doing.
Yeah, and I don't think there are any regions of Estonia that are fiercely pro-Russian. I think mostly there are Russians in Estonia,
right?
But they're the minority, and
right.
in fact, they have been persecuted to a degree, such as that not being allowed to speak their language in schools and things like that. That's always how these things start. But it doesn't seem to be the same situation as Ukraine, where the country pretty much has regions that are very pro-Russian and regions that are very pro-Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to be clear, the odds of this happening are extremely low, but the danger is real enough that everyone is taking it seriously. And if it did happen, it would be many, many times worse than any other item on this list combined. I'm not sure why it's number 5 then, but I guess because it's not that likely. More likely, though, is climate change. And that is the greatest near-term harm that we're facing. It's a rise in extreme weather events over the next 100 years. Could include deadly heat waves, droughts, flooding, a rise in sea levels that would affect coastal cities. Worst-case scenario, the world's trying to limit the global temperature rise to 2 degrees Celsius because any more than that is considered dangerous. And a temperature rise of just 4 degrees Celsius would cause substantial species extinctions, and large risks to global and regional food security, as well as rising sea levels. And that's according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. In other words, a total catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you care about the world, your kids and your grandkids, you should be pretty freaked out by this. Averting disaster requires immediate, massive global cuts to carbon emissions. The U.S. and China are dragging their feet on this, and it might simply be too late.
Right.
But that's something to freak out about a lot more than ISIS or Ebola.
Right. In fact, most science indicates it is too late. And I'm not to take a Republican stance here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a scientist. But that's what they say.
Is that what they say?
That's right.
That's okay. Well, that's not really a stance, though, is it? That's just kind of a statement of fact that
that is true.
They aren't qualified to really say anything. Okay. So something else you can freak out about are guns. Yeah. And this, I'm reading this from a list, okay? It's not me saying it. It's other people saying it.
Well, I'm freaked out about guns.
Well, guns kill more than 30,000 Americans every year, about as many deaths as caused by motor vehicles. Only about 1 in 3 of those deaths, though, is a homicide. A few thousand are from accidents, but most are due to suicide. We've already chosen to live in a society with the world's highest gun ownership rate and some of its loosest gun control laws, so the worst-case scenario is pretty much already here. Still, gun deaths per year are on the rise. Now, how freaked out should you be by this? It all depends on whether you see America's uniquely permissive gun laws as worth the trade-off. But you and, yes, your children are at risk regardless of your views about gun regulations. That is a sad fact.
We just had a shooting on the corner where I live this morning, the corner of my street where I live.
Wow.
About a little after midnight last night and about an hour after I got home. And I could have run into those same people. It was a house break-in, and
but you see them.
No one was killed, though.
Okay, but there was a shooting, and you live in New York. New York has strict gun laws. This is proof that strict gun laws do nothing to prevent guns. So that means we should not have strict gun laws.
Of course.
Should have no gun laws. And everyone should have a gun, and then your problem.
There's an argument with that, yes. However,
how do people even say that with a straight face?
However, right, gun laws in one or a few counties in a state do not stop people from, in the rest of the country, from bringing those guns in concealed. You know, we should have a huge metal detector every time you enter the city of New York, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like something that some politicians would sign on to. But, you know, it's the fact of the matter is you are always going to have crime. You're always going to have bad people with certain devices and things like that until we figure out a way to make those devices useless. Sometimes, and it might sound defeatist, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be Charles Bronson 24/7,
mm-hmm.
and you can't anticipate without making horrible mistakes yourself.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the most you can do is make it as difficult as possible for these things to happen in the first place, but you're never going to eliminate it completely.
Correct.
All right. Number two of the things to the threats to Americans, traffic accidents. Danger to Americans in this particular case is very high, about 34,000 deaths in 2011. Which is the last year they have complete data for. It takes them so long to add up all the numbers. That's as far as they've gotten. And that's more than one in four of all deaths related to unintentional injuries. So, yeah, you should be pretty freaked out by this. Motor vehicle death rate is declining, but getting in your car is still dangerous because you don't know what other people are doing. Stay
mm-hmm.
alert. Don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else to be freaked out about. But you can't do a news story on that every night, I guess. It doesn't scare people enough.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. Number one. Number one is actually a tie. It's actually a tie. We have to give out credit to both. Heart disease and cancer. The number one and number two killers in the United States, collectively responsible for just over 50% of all American deaths. Now, these could become even deadlier as Americans get unhealthier, which there's a lot of people want to do that. They want to get unhealthy as they possibly can do.
Correct.
It's sort of this defiance, like, yeah, I'm going to eat crap, and that makes me cool, you know, and I'll make a reality TV show about it as well. More people will follow me.
That's right.
But heart disease correlates with rising obesity. Cancer rates also correlate with obesity, smoking, other unhealthy practices. Now, the odds are that one of these two things will kill you, so you should be kind of freaked out by that. And the good news, though, is it's pretty easy to reduce that risk by simply making healthy lifestyle choices and screening regularly for cancer, and that's much easier for any given American, at least in combating West African Ebola outbreaks or Middle Eastern terrorist groups on their turf. So that puts everything into perspective, I think.
I would say so.
All right.
Hey, did you know while I was on the phone with Mike before, did you mention the AIDS outbreaks?
I did not.
As an item? And that, of course, is an interesting factor, just statistically. I mean, I think there were 26,000-plus deaths of AIDS before a president acknowledged the disease being rampant in the United States.
This is Reagan?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, he wouldn't even say the word AIDS.
Right.
So that was that's
and,
something.
And yet we live, and I am personally not a big supporter of our current president politically,
mm-hmm.
but I think at the time, you know, people were ranting about there's been three deaths. Why haven't the borders been shut down? And
you notice how it's the Republicans that are jumping onto this.
Why
would only Republicans want to impose a travel ban from a particular part of the world to fight a disease? It's just it just makes you wonder that they're leaping on any possible way to keep people out, to keep the right people out or the wrong people out.
Correct.
Because it doesn't make any sense to say that, well, Democrats don't care about Ebola, you know, or
right.
this is a conservative issue. No, it just kind of tells you what kind of people they are and how they will look for any opportunity.
Correct.
And I was blown away by that. They don't seem to see what they're broadcasting to everybody.
Right. Well, you know, they watch Fox, and that's the end of it.
I've been watching Fox lately only because I want to see just how insane they get. And they get insane pretty quickly.
They get pretty insane, right?
It's something else. But here's something else insane. This was sent to us by Rob T. Firefly, who sent us this New York Post article, and that's always a bit of fun to read. Do you know that you are not allowed to say Ebola on the radio if you're a 9/11 dispatcher? Yeah. So if you work, if someone calls 911 and says that someone might have Ebola and they should respond to that. They can't say that. They can't say that over the radio because it'll cause panic, or they think it will cause panic. This
is panic among the first responders who they are calling.
Or anybody listening in, I suppose, as well.
Oh, that's true. Anybody monitoring the broadcast.
This advisory says, at no point shall a dispatcher transmit over the radio any message containing the word Ebola or related terminology. Dispatchers instead must use the code letters FT, as in fever travel, to indicate that a 911 caller has a fever and a history of travel to West Africa. Engine XXX utilized universal precautions. You are responding to a fever travel incident, dispatchers are now ordered to say. Now, a source said the directive is meant to minimize fear of a citywide outbreak, since the emergency radio channels are closely monitored by civilian hobbyists and members of the media.
Got it.
Just like you can't say bomb on an airplane, you can't say Ebola, said the source.
That is interesting.
They say back in the 80s and 90s, taking universal precautions meant someone has AIDS, and we weren't allowed to say AIDS either.
Huh.
How do you like that? So, there you go. That's our world, summed up in a neat little package.
It's a wonderful place.
So, won't you support that by calling us at 631-632-6901 and lending your support and keeping this radio station on the air? Why do we need to ask people to do this?
Well, you know, we are the only truly independent station. And when I say independent, we get a little bit of funding. The only funding we get a little bit from the college, from the grad students and things like that. But most of it we get from you, the listeners, to help keep us on board and to expand what we do. And we're independent in terms of what we do. And I believe we're pretty close to the only station that truly is that. There's no board of directors here. There's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
When Emmanuel comes on the air, when I do my show, we do exactly what we want to do. There's nobody we answer to. Nobody comes down and tells us you can't do that.
Well, somebody does throw out your show occasionally.
That's true.
That happens.
The only regulatory agency we have to answer to occasionally is the FCC, but not too often. So give us a call right now if you appreciate all this independent thought, this independent talk, this independent music. 631-632-6901. 631-632-6901. Any amount is a wonderful pledge. Give us a call, no matter how large, no matter how small, we'll take it, baby.
You're saying if somebody calls up at 631-632-6901 and pledges $10, we're not going to slam the phone down and call them a cheapskate?
We shall take it. You can join Mike in Brookhaven, who a very generous caller over a long time to this show, and other callers. 631-632-6901. If Off the Wall is important to you, if what Emmanuel does here and Kyle does week after week after week is important to you in any way, please give us a call and show support for this station. We're always struggling here in terms of getting things together. Nobody here has a salary. We're looking at a board that I think was originally constructed in the late 60s, but put in here in the 70s. 631-632-6901. Our job is not to replace and get all new stuff. Our job is to keep things going, and we need your help to do that. 631-632-6901. Emmanuel only has a few more minutes of the show. Show your support right now.
Yes, because it makes me feel a lot better knowing that people are out there and that they care and that WUSB means something to them. I wanted to read a bunch of letters that we got. We got a lot of nice mail, but I don't have time because there were so many other things going on this week. I will get to them next week, and maybe your letter can be added to that if you write it now and send it to otw@2600.com. That's the off-the-wall official email address, except no invitations. But most importantly, we want people to give a call to the radio station right now and show support to keep the radio station going, to keep us on the air, to keep us strong, and broadcasting diversity of all sorts. Now, you have a show coming up in a few minutes, not to make you panic or anything like that. I see you're kind of sweating and looking
scared
a little nervous.
To death.
Well, do you have anything planned? Are you just going to wing it?
Well, actually, today it's a music show, and we're going to obviously be taking some pledges. And very often my show is a music show, but we're going to be paying some tribute to Lux Interior of the Cramps, whose birthday is today, and a whole bunch of things. And
you always know what everyone's birthday is. Is that Facebook doing all the work? Or
These things come to me, you know,
wow.
In dreams. 631-632-6901. Give us a call right now.
You get the best interviews, too, and it's simply incredible how you're able to do this. But I imagine with a little bit of just stubbornness and foresight, you can go and talk to just about anybody in the world.
Well, like you, you know, we work hard at getting our interviews, getting our sources, and you have a whole history of phenomenal interviews yourself. And, yeah, when we want to get something, we do it. I mean, last week was Mike Watt from the Minutemen. Just people I'm interested in, people you guys out there are interested in, just like what Emmanuel does. We know you're interested in these subjects. We talk about them. We need your support. 631-632-6901.
All right. I'm out of time. Finn's coming up. Please get your dialing fingers going. 631-632-6901. We'll be back next week with all kinds of action-packed adventures to relate and talk about. And Finn is coming up right now, and you never know what he's going to do. But what we'd like you to do is make that phone call. 631-632-6901. Emmanuel, I'm out. Good night.